Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. We're live. This is D&K Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver is the website or the link you click into. 845-277-9094 is the phone number you can call in and listen to by phone. So either by the internet or by phone, we're live on this Monday night for D&K Bible Break. We want to welcome everyone to listening in that support us, that listen to us on a weekly basis. We just want to say thank you, and thank you for joining us. This is your first time listening to the show. We want to say thank you for listening and supporting us again as we get ready to do another D&K Bible Break. I have my co-host, Ms. K, on the line with me. She's just not my co-host. This is my lovely wife that will be riding shotgun with me on tonight. So with Ms. K, you there?
I am here. Good evening. Happy Monday.
Okay, you had a long delay there.
I didn't realize I had my line on mute, that's all.
Okay, all right, well, she's here, her mic is good, and we're ready for have a, I'm not going to say it's going to be a different show, but for me it's different because I'm looking at things a little bit differently. But I got a lot I got to say, a lot I got to get off my chest. Hopefully that it lines up with the Word of God, and I'm going to be using some scriptures tonight, and hopefully it all lines up and we can go with the flow. Really don't have a title for tonight. I'm just going to be on one. Hopefully we can keep it in the same pocket and we can learn and go forward together in love. With that being said, Kay, you have anything you want to add? And if not, you can just open us up with prayer if you don't mind.
All right. I don't have anything to add right now, but I'm sure I will later. So I'm just going to open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening just thanking you for allowing us to see another day that was not promised to us. Thank you for allowing us to wake in our right minds. Thank you for giving us the activities of our limbs. Thank you for being a guide to us on this day. We ask that you just let your spirit flow, remove us, and increase what you were trying to say to your people on tonight. Lord, we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. We thank you for being our strength. We thank you for being our redeemer. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to start us off tonight, and I just have a couple questions and some comments and some things that's on my chest. I just feel like sometimes this is a platform that the Lord allowed me to have to be able to say some things that a lot of people want to say but can't say. And the last couple of weeks the Lord's been dealing with me, and he's been giving me confirmation. And he's giving me confirmation every time from across the pulpit. 2 weeks ago, church I attend, Praise Tabernacle, our First Lady, Pamela Zachary was the preacher. And the word she used, it don't look like what it seems. And it really registered because I was getting ready to go through something. And that word just became my life. It just uplifted me all week long. It just helped me. My week was better because I was looking at some situations health-wise, job-wise. It just didn't look good. But the Lord showed me through that, through the message and through the word, that my situation doesn't look, it's not as bad as I was making it. And I was making it really bad. But I put the word on it, and it just, the Lord showed me through the pulpit and through some other things that he was in control of the situation. I did not have to worry. I did not have to stress. during the week, I'm just saying this, and I'm during the week, there were some things, there were some questions that was asked, and and not just from the First Lady, but from our bishop. The answer is in the pulpit. If your pastor or your leader or who's ever teaching, you know, sometimes the answer is in the message. You just got to receive the message. So what I want to talk about is, are you really receiving what is being preached across the pulpit? Are you receiving it, or are you just listening to it? And what I mean listening to it is it just going over your head. Are you really taking in heed what is being said? Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to use myself as an example. There were some things that were said over the pulpit that was answers to questions. And these answers to the questions that came over the pulpit, you know, it's funny because I heard what was being said over the pulpit. My wife heard what was being said over the pulpit, but then someone asked us the question that the answer was already over the pulpit. So my wife said to me that such and such asked a question. And I said, well, the pastor just answered the question when they said what was over the pulpit. It's not, you know, why are they asking you something that was already said that was across the pulpit, which was the answer to the question? And not only did they ask the question that's already been answered over the pulpit, they couldn't receive the answer, didn't like the answer that was over the pulpit. So the next question was why? When the answer was already given over the pulpit, and then the question was asked, why was that the answer and why? If it's coming from over the pulpit, it's for a reason, not to question. I'm not saying you can't challenge the word or you can't ask for more detail about the word, but if it's a cut and dry answer, if it's a yes or no type of situation, if the pastor says services start at 9 o'clock and you wondering why it can't start at 9:15, that's an irrelevant question. When the services say it starts at 9, but you can't get there to 9:15, that wasn't the question. I'm just using that as an example. And then if the pastor said we're gonna move the service back to 9:15, people that was coming at 9:15 is now gonna think that's an extra 15 minutes for them to come at 9:30. The answer is already there. It's just the fact that you don't want to be and listen to what is coming across the pulpit. A lot of people do not want to listen to what comes across the pulpit. I'm not talking about these jackleg preachers or these bootleg preachers and bishops and I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about if you're in a church and you're hearing the word of God continuously, and the answer to your question is coming across the pulpit, the question is, why aren't you listening and obeying what's coming across the pulpit? Do you have anything you want to add?
Well, not specifically on that particular issue that you're speaking of, but I do want to add that I think a lot of the times why people don't take heed to what is coming across the pulpit, a lot of the reasons is they're just coming to say that they came to church. They're not coming for just to say I went to church today, to kind of like check it off the list. Like I was in the house, but they're not. Their ears are not open to receive what's being said. And in addition to that, it has to do with how you're living your life prior to Sunday, prior to church service. Because if I'm trying to get right on Sunday, but I've been causing hell all week, there's no way for you to connect with the Spirit. So you're not going to hear anything that the leader is saying. Because there's no connection there. You're just there.
So in other words, you're saying people just coming to church just as a religious base to say they was in church?
I think a lot of people do that out of habit. Yeah, out of habit and just to say they went to church today. I mean, I'm not saying all, but some people, that's what they do. They go to church,
yeah, I'm not,
and then as soon as they leave church, they pick up where they left off at.
Okay, so... That's my point, because it's like, I don't know, I guess as in since I've been at the church I'm in, where I was when I started before I went there to where I am now, and I don't want to make it about a Derek thing, but, you know, I went from I don't want to say nothing, but where I was at spiritually, I was on zero. But because of where I was at, because of the word of God and because I applied it, I moved up. I'm in a place now where I enjoy studying the word of God. I enjoy talking about the word of God. Last week, during the week, it could have been Thursday, could have been Friday, me and my wife was having a conversation. I said yesterday in church we was arguing, but it was really a friendly debate. It was a discussion. And the reason that we have these debates and discussions is to pull out of us. I'm pulling out of her, she's pulling out of me. There's really no right or wrong, but this particular thing we were talking about in the Bible, I had one way of looking at it, she had another way of looking at it. And then to go to church on yesterday and hear the preacher confirm some things from the pulpit, it wasn't that I was right, wrong, but confirm and it fit into what my wife was saying. I wasn't seeing it that way. Not that I didn't believe it, but I had a different opinion than what she had. And we were debating on it. And then to hear the man of God come boldly on yesterday across the pulpit and sum it all up. And what he summed up was confirmation to what my wife was telling me. So what I'm saying is, if you're looking for an answer, you can always get it, and God always provided from, and I don't know if this is the right or wrong way to say, from the leader or from across the pulpit. Whatever the answer you're looking for, you can get it across the pulpit if you're obedient enough and mature enough to listen to what the word of God is saying. And a lot of people come to church that are content, that like where they are. They can love people in the church, but yet they hell raisers when it comes to their family. Or flip it, they can love their family, and when they come to church, they can raise hell. That's not of God. That's not of God. You half doing it, half stepping, and you only want to listen to what you want to listen to. If you're going to love, you got to love all the way across the board. People you don't even like, you have to love. I know it's a struggle in some areas, but you can't pick and choose who to love and who you can't love. You can't pick and choose the sins that you're going to accept and the sins that you don't want to accept. If sin doesn't make you uncomfortable, something's wrong. A preacher friend of mine, I'm going to talk about that too in a minute, told me something that was very interesting. He said, if you like certain sin, but yet other sin despise you, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. You have a problem. You're not delivered. You having a rot. There's a problem there. Now, if you love everybody, and when people don't love other people, if that bothers you, that's how it's supposed to bother you, because we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to show that agape love to everyone. But when you look at the church, everyone don't love the same. But yet we can sit there and say that we saved, sanctified, and led. That's not true. You picking and choosing. You're not being holy. You're just doing what you want to do, and not what God called you to do. Because he said love, you got to love everybody. You just can't love people in the church and then raise hell in your family or snub your nose at your family because you think you better than them. I'm just going off the cuff right now. You can't do that. It's not right to do that. You got to love everybody. And if you say that you are a believer and you sin ought to bother you, little sin, big sin, there is no such thing as little sin or big sin. This ought to bother you. And when you hear it coming across the pulpit and it chastises you, but yet you want to cover it up. And see, this, and I'm going to say this, you're going to hear me say this a lot through the rest of the year. I do not want my pastor to be my friend. I'm going to say that again. I don't want my pastor to be my friend. Because I have some pastor friends that always agree with whatever I'm going through. They always agree with me. They pat me on the back. You all right. That they'll never correct anything that I say. I have a problem with that. Because if you're if you're trying to get me on another level, if you're trying to get me to go there, you have to, when I get upset, not agree with me because I'm upset, but ask the question, am I wrong in any parts of what's going on? And for a long time, up until the end of last year, the beginning of this year, I had a problem with people not agreeing with me being on my side. I'm just going to be honest. And now that I've overcoming that, and I can listen instead of always talking when someone is trying to help me because, okay, it's not right over here. And I guess what I'm trying to say is people go to church, they listen to the message, and they go right back home the same way. And it's not because the message isn't being preached right or they're not receiving it right. It's just you have a closed ear to the truth, and you don't want to hurt. The truth will set you free. It's true. The truth will, but some of us don't want to be set free. So we come to church as a religious practice. We jump up and down to feel good within ourselves and thinking that God likes it because we made a sacrifice to come out for an hour. But yet you still not loving. You still sowing discord. You still doing the same stuff you've been doing for 20 years, and you come to church Sunday after Sunday. Something ought to get there. Ought to be some type of change. I ain't saying, and we serve a God that can change you overnight. You don't need a 12-step program, but sometimes you do need a 12-step. It takes time on some things, but some things God can fix right here, right now. And I'm saying it. Hope it's being received and understand what I'm trying to say. I'm just, when you go to church and you listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God is blessing you, and the way I've been blessed is like, wow, I can't say nothing but this is the Lord, because there's sometimes that comes across the pulpit, I can't jump up and shout because the Lord is dealing with me. He's preparing me. He's fixing me. And it's a flesh and a spiritual thing. And my spirit always wins out over my flesh if I allow it to work the right way. I can't always have an and a but. Sometimes it's just shut up and do what the Word of God say. And I'm saying this because I'm trying to go somewhere with this tonight. There's that Matthew's, I think it's the fourth chapter. Can you get that for me, wife? Matthew's 4. I just want to read 1-5. I just want to show you something because I'm going to get off of receiving something over the pulpit. We're supposed to listen to our leaders. Now, if you're in a church where your leader ain't right and ain't acting right, well, that's on you. But if you're in a church that you're getting the word, regardless who preaches it, it's the Word of God, and it's coming from a holy place, it's coming from the Lord, you are accountable for the way you act. You are accountable for what you do. You are accountable for everything. And the thing about that is sin is always, you can't just say you're comfortable living in sin. I apologized a few months ago to my wife because I didn't listen to what she said. She said something to me, I didn't listen. And because I did not listen and it was coming from a holy place, I messed up because I did not listen. I was warned. And if I go back deep enough, the same thing that she was saying was being preached across the pulpit. But I wanted to think that I was a big shot and I knew it all and I didn't listen. And because I did not listen, I ended up making something that should have been a small little issue into a big problem. I can't blame the devil. The only person I can blame is me, because I rejected my warning. I rejected what someone was trying to tell, and they were telling me the Word of God. Now, I use myself as an example because I just use myself, because if it happens to me, I know it's happening to other people. When you are being warned from the pulpit or from people who love you and who wants to see you go to another level, and you just blatantly, for whatever reason it is, close your ear to that, then you're not, and the Lord showed this, and I can say this because it's me I'm talking about, you're not walking with the Lord. You're not walking with the presence. You may want to think you are. You may want to feel you are, but you're really not. Until you become mature enough to to be able to listen. And if the truth hurts, okay, it's going to hurt sometime. You're going to have to sit down and reevaluate your steps in everyday life. Me as a man, me as a father, me as a husband, me as a brother, me as a cousin, I have to evaluate each of those situations because people are looking for me to be able to be a light. And if I'm not, if I got sin, sin is dark. If I'm walking around in darkness, people are not going to be able to receive me. So that's what I'm saying. And I'm getting ready to make a switch here. You got that Matthew 4? Is it Matthew 4? No, Matthew 17, 1 through 5. I'm sorry.
You had me at 4. Okay, so 17?
It is 4. Wait, is it 4? Yeah, 4.
You talking about temptation?
No, I'm not talking about temptation. I'm talking about when Peter and them went up to the mount with Jesus.
That's not Matthew 4. So what is it? It's 17.
17.
I have it.
Yeah, 17. I'm sorry. Yeah, Matthew 17.
Okay. So what's the verses? 1 through?
1 through 5. Just read 1 through 5.
All right. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
All right, now this is a great story. Jesus left the disciples, and he took 3 disciples with him. They went on to the mountaintop. They got up there, and Peter, I can relate to this, because Peter got happy, I believe, because A, he was chosen to go. B, I think he was feeling himself a little bit and wanted to just act like he knew more than what he really knew. And that's why he wanted to build the other temples for Moses and Elijah. He wanted to build tent for them. And if you heard what it said, that the Lord said that he was well pleased with his son, you know, in other words, the mother too, they may have been good, but that wasn't the Father. That wasn't the Word. That wasn't, it was only Jesus, and it's only going to be through Jesus. And after, and this is a good story for you to go back to read, because when they came off the mount, you know, Peter got his feelings hurt, I believe, when he was up there talking about building these other temples for these other people. No, you can't have but one Lord, one Word, one God. You can't have a whole bunch of other stuff. So they shut that down, but the good thing is Peter was able to go up there with them. When they came down from the mountain, there was a man who was hurting because of his son, and the man did exactly what he was instructed to do and took him to the leaders of the church, if I might say, to the other disciples. And the other disciples could not heal this boy. And the man said to Jesus, help my unbelief. Now, there's a lot into that, and I feel like I want to preach that, but what I want to try to get my point is this. There ain't but one Word, there ain't but one God, there ain't but one Lord. And regardless, you have other people who may be intelligent, you have other people who may do good things, but they're not your Lord. You can't listen to them. You have to listen to the Lord, to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, with that being said, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can speak to other people to speak to you. You just got to know, if you know the Lord, you know if they're speaking truth to you or they teaching you something that you ain't supposed to do. That's why it's a difference to have a pastor than to have a friend, because your friend is going to agree with you because your friend wants to uplift whatever move he wants to help you, however, to get you out of that situation. The Word of God will tell you what sometimes you have to go through some things. Can't no friend help you. You got to go through it. And sometimes the Lord will put into somebody else to tell you what you're doing is wrong. And then we can't, like when my wife was telling me not to do something, I felt myself, and I felt I'm the man. I run this. I'm going to do what I want to do. I said that in ignorance. I said that being selfish. I said that however you want to put, I said it because I didn't listen. And a lot of times God put people in your life, and I want to use for a thing coming across the pulpit, speaking with the Lord intentions to get you out of something. Sometimes people will say something to you. It may hurt your feelings, but it may be the truth. And because it hurt, you want to be like, oh, they all in my bit. No, that's the Lord telling you. You need to stop doing what you're doing. It hurts. I hear people with as kids to say our parents was too hard. They was this. No, they wasn't too hard. They were trying to prevent you from doing something stupid. So if they had to be hard on you, that was their way of telling you to give you a wake-up call, not to be stupid, not to be dumb. But if you want to be soft and negotiate with everything, you're going to fall into that temptation and into that trap. The Lord is either going to do two things. He's going to fix it. And if he fixes it, if you listen to him, he will fix it. If you don't listen to him, he won't fix it. It's either going to get fixed or it's not going to get fixed. And sometime, when you're trying to fix yourself, it's going to hurt. Saying that to say this to get to my next point. When Jesus and them came off the mountain and they saw this man, and the man went to the disciples, and the disciples could not heal the man's boy. And after the fact, they asked Jesus, why couldn't we heal this boy? And you could. And Jesus said, some of these demons only come out through fast and praying. Here we go again. The pastor can't always call a fast, and that's the only time you fast. He can't always be around to tell you to do what you need to do in order for you to go to where you need to go. You need to have a relationship with him for him to be able to help you do certain things that you need to do. And the disciples evidently was not following the pattern of what Jesus was doing before he went up to the mount, or they would have been able to help this boy. Where are you going with this, Derek? Sometimes if you don't never come to church, if you don't never pray, if you don't never do nothing, but yet you want to be in the front part of the church, how is anyone going to receive something from you if you're not doing what you're supposed to do? I hope you understood what I said and how I said and where I got to where I got and where I'm going. I got a whole lot more I got to say, too. But I'm going to chill out for a minute. Go ahead, Weiss.
Well, I wanted to add another scripture to what you just did. It's Hebrews 13 and 17. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So, let me just say it like this. If you are attending a church and you have a leader and you have no respect for that leader, I question the reason for you being there. If you can't respect the man or woman of God that has authority to keep watch over you, that prays for you, that seeks the Lord on your behalf, if you have no respect for him or her, then what's the purpose of going? Is it just for show? Because just like the leaders have to give an account to the Lord for you, you're going to be held accountable for how you treat your leaders as well. So it all goes hand in hand. I mean, if you respect your leaders, you're going to do what they're telling you to do as long as they're telling you based on what the Bible says. Now, we're not talking about blindly following leaders and just doing whatever they say. I've seen so many things in the news of people just blindly following people who are over them. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about godly leaders. And you should examine the scriptures that they give you on Sunday or whatever your service day is. Examine those scriptures. Go back. Make sure it's sound biblical teaching. I mean, examine it. And by you examining it, that'll let you know if they're following Christ. And if they're following Christ, then you can follow them. I did write down a few things that I feel, this is just my personal take on it, that you should be getting from any time a message is going forth. So it's in no particular order, but I believe that conviction is there. So the word should convict you. It should challenge you. It should provide you with instructions. It should give you confirmation. And it should encourage you. So in no particular order and at any given time, it should be doing any one of those five things when you come to service. If you're just coming and nothing, I'm going to say check your connection with the Lord, because if you're not getting what the minister is saying, or you're not feeling it, or you just going doing what you want to do when it's over, check your connection. Check the connection with the Holy Spirit. Are you lining up with what the Lord is saying? Because anytime that you go to his house, there should be some type of something. The Holy Spirit should, in one way or another, give you direction on what's going on in your life. And also not just your life, for you to encourage or, you know, support somebody else. So it's a full circle thing. And it's not for you to, you know, kick and rebel against what the word is saying. You're supposed to be learning and growing, and we're supposed to support our leaders. I did have, it says submit to godly leaders. This is what I wrote down. Submission involves an attitude. Either you do it willingly or you don't do it at all. And we got a lot of people outwardly obeying, and they put on a show and they pretend to be taking heed to what the Lord is saying. You know, in front of everybody, it looks like they're getting it, and it's like, okay, they're loud, they're shouting, they're saying amen. They're doing everything and it looks like they're really hearing what the Lord is saying. But on the inside, you know, they could be burning hot. They could be just doing that because they're so upset with what's going on. They on fire. And they don't have any intentions on submitting to what the word is saying. They know how to play church, and they know what to say at the time, do what they need to do at the time. But when they leave service, business as usual. I'm going to do me, and ain't nobody going to tell me how to do me. You a man, you a woman just like me. I put my pants on the same way you do. And, you know, people go on with their life, and they could care less about what was being said. They just needed to show face to see, you know, show Facebook, hey, I'm at church today. But you go on living your life any kind of way that you want to live it. But when you submit and you trust what your leader is saying, then it's easier to cooperate and support your leader when you trust what they're saying, when you trust that they have your best interest at heart, and when you trust that they want nothing but the best for you and for your salvation, for you to walk this thing out. And they're not being above you. They're walking alongside you, leading you, and letting you know, hey, we got this. And they're wanting you to grow. They want you to mature in the Lord. That's a good leader. A good leader wants you to mature. They don't want you to still be drinking baby milk 10 years down the road. No, they want to see some type of maturity. There's no way you should be still coming to church year after year after year, sitting in the same spot doing the same thing. And you don't open up your mouth to say nothing. And there is no growth in you. You can't tell a testimony. You can't read a scripture. You just bear. There should be some kind of growth, and any good leader is going to challenge you and want you to do the best and live the best way that you can for the Lord. And the leader is also going to be an example. They're not going to just be out here doing what they want to do. They have to be living examples as well, because they are accountable to the Lord. So I just want to add that. Go ahead, husband.
Okay. Well, the thing that you said that I had marked down was conviction. And conviction. The thing about it is I, and I'm speaking from experience with conviction, because sometimes you can go to church and you can turn that conviction off. That means it don't apply to you. That's the difference between having a friend as a pastor and just having a pastor as a pastor, because of that conviction. Because no one is totally perfect. No one has arrived, including the leader. And a lot of times when that conviction comes across the pulpit, when that word comes across the pulpit, it hurts because it's convicting you. Conviction ain't supposed to feel good. Conviction ain't supposed to be you jump up and down and happy. Conviction, you're supposed to look at yourself and you're supposed to examine yourself in the conviction that you're in, whatever it may be. If your conviction is buying lottery tickets and you do it, and the pastor's talking about gambling, and you don't feel no type of way, you don't feel like you're doing wrong. Well, let me do something a little bit more deeper. If you living in sin, if you shacking up, and you ain't married, and you sleeping and playing house, and you ain't committed. And when the preacher preaches about commitment and marriage and fornication, if it doesn't bother you, if it doesn't convict you, then you didn't turn it off, because that should make you feel like, make you want to do right. It makes you want to, it should make you, it should be some type of feeling there that make you want to do right. But if you are comfortable in it and you decide to keep doing it, and you've been doing it for year after year after year, and I'm just using fornication as an example, or shacking up as an example. It could be any, you can put anything in there. If you're not convicted by it, by coming to church, every time I go to church on Sunday, I'm thankful, but I'm also looking to be better. There's something in me that's not right every Sunday, and there should be a light shined on it if you want to get better. I haven't arrived. I don't have all the answers. There's things I'm struggling with. But if I go to church every Sunday and don't feel that conviction, something's wrong. It ain't the pastor. It ain't that he being nosy and preaching about me and my weaknesses. It's not that someone being nosy going around telling my business. It's the fact the Lord is trying to get your attention to wake you up, to make you a better person, a better Christian, a better brother, a better sister, a better wife. Not all of this. And one of the things that's bothering me, and I think I told it to my wife today, you can go around and raise hell all day, every day, and don't have a problem with it. But soon as someone raise hell against you, you want to call the pastor, all the elders, all the deacons, because someone did you wrong. But you've been doing wrong to all these people all this time. As soon as it come on you, now you want to be spiritual. That ain't right. No, no. What ain't right is you going around raising hell around all these people. And then when it finally catches up and someone do it to you, now you want to be spiritual. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite is what you are. And a lot of these type of people that's in the church, some people only want to come to church only when the light is on them. And then when the light ain't on them, they want to complain about everybody else. But you don't know what the other person had to go through in order to get the position that they got, because they go through so much. It's like being a preacher. You go through so much hell that when you finally get the opportunity to preach, it's you went through something. You got something to give the people because of what you went through. Every preacher know what I'm talking about. If you ain't never preached or taught, you go through a lot. You experience a lot of hell before you have to present the word of God. And when it's that time, everybody want to make decisions. I was listening to the word yesterday at church, and I felt good because it was a rhema word for me. I got confirmation on not just what me and my wife, but some other things I was it uplifted me as it did last Sunday, as it do every Sunday. But when you look out at the people and you see that blank look they have on their face, did they get it? Didn't they get it? Well, all right, maybe the Lord working on them. I don't know. I don't have that answer. I don't have that type of knowledge to know if you're getting what the word is giving you. I know that the word is goes out at the place that I fellowship. It puts me on a different level because I'm allowing it to work. It ain't always a shouting message. It ain't always jump up and down because the Lord is working on me. It ain't nothing wrong with jumping up and down, dancing. All that's good. But the question I'm asking tonight and through the rest of the, however long the Lord leads me to be on this, are you doing it because you're trying to get to another level with the Lord? It's the relationship between you and the Lord. Are you doing it for show? Are you going to come to church on Sunday because you want everybody to see you and hope and pray that the pastor call your name out? Or are you coming to church to better your relationship? See, I go to church because I really don't care what anybody thinks. I really don't care what anybody says. I'm going to church to uplift the Lord so he can make me a better person, whether I'm in the spotlight or whether I'm not in the spotlight. I just want to be used by the Lord. And if the Lord is using me, then it makes everything else that much easier. And one of the things I had to learn going into this year, 2022, is just shut up and listen. Now, I don't shut up and listen to anybody, but there's people I need to shut up and listen to who's trying to encourage me to go to another level. So God put people in your life for a reason. He given me a helpmate for a reason. So if I don't listen, it's like slapping God in the face. And then I got to deal with the consequences. And if I have to deal with the consequences, then I can't even blame the devil for that, because I didn't listen to the word of God. And until you listen to the word of God and just meditate on the word of God and do what the word of God tells you to do, I guarantee you things will flip and you won't be looking at things the way they seem in the natural, but you look at things the way they seem in the spiritual. And that's what you got to do. And with that being said, you know, again, I'm going to reiterate, when I came to this church, I was on zero. Now that I look around and see all the things that is going on, it just seemed like it's a never-ending story. It just keeps going and going because it's not about Derek's will, it's about his will. And sometime he'll put you in a position where it's not nothing that I don't have nothing to do with any of this, but he'll have you there because he knows that you're going to be faithful enough to see it all the way through. And when I say that, it just is what it is. And I can go real deep and just really just be honest and just start saying stuff. Some of y'all are just, and you know, I have no hesitation about saying it, but some y'all don't even do church right. And when I say that, you know, we went to church growing up in the 80s. And if you grew up going to church in the 80s and then a little bit in the 90s, you know what church is all about, because you'd be in church all day. You can do your 11 o'clock service with the choir. Then you got to sing somewhere at 2 o'clock at another church and be back at your church at 7 o'clock. That's church all day. We can't even make it to church for an hour. We can't.
Hmm.
We get sick, we ain't coming to church. And don't use the coronavirus as an excuse. We make every excuse not to be able to serve God to the fullest potential that he would have us do. And now it's easier to serve God than it was back in the 80s, because we was in church all day. Got to be at church 10 o'clock for Sunday school. Then you got to do 11 o'clock service. And if you sing in the choir, play an instrument, you was really, and then if you had to do another service at 2 o'clock at another church, or my father had to preach at another church at 2 o'clock, we have to go there and sing. Then we had to be back at our church at 7 o'clock and sing then. That's church all day. And that was at least two, three Sundays a week. in a month, I might add. And now we're in a church where we understand with the pandemic and everything, we use that as an excuse that we can't even go to church and serve him for an hour. And we want to ask questions. Well, when are we going to get our own church? Well, you heard from the pulpit, it's more convenient and easier and the less stress off everybody else. Now, when he gives the answer, we're going to ask the question, when are we getting our own church? And then the people, they can't even be consistent and be there for 4 Sundays in a row for an hour. And you think you want to get us to go back to 11 o'clock, to 1 o'clock? And it's just questions. These are baby questions, basic questions. Let's ask. And I'm so tired of hearing the questions, and the answer has been already given to how you do it. If you want to be a blessing, if you want God to bless you all the time, bless somebody else. You ain't got to bless them with money all the time. It could be with a ride to church. You ain't got to bless everybody with a ride to church. You can just bless them and just call them during the week and say, I'm just calling to check in on you. But we ask the wrong questions. And when we get the answers to the questions, when they get preached across the pulpit, we want to ask the same question that was already, the answer already given to you. Are you reading your word on a daily basis? No. Are you being committed to church on a, no. And I ain't saying this to be harsh or to beat anybody up. I mean, if you don't feel good, by all means, the world, you don't have to come to church. But sometimes if we can go to Walmart, we can go to work, we can go to the beauty store, we can go do all these other things, but we make excuse about coming to church. That bothers me.
The funny thing about that, though, is, you know, there's healing in the house. So I understand, because sometimes I don't feel well either. So, but if I got enough strength that I'm going to go do other stuff that I got to do for that day, then I'm going to the house of the Lord. I'm not going to just lay there and be like, I don't feel good. But as soon as church is over, I'm getting dressed to go run here or run there or go hang out at somebody's house just to be sitting. If I can do all that, then clearly I can go to the house of the Lord. At the end of the day, whatever you choosing to do, just keep in mind that the Lord sees everything. He knows everything. You can lie, fake, and do everything in front of people. You can put on a show. You can put on a facade. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what you do for the Lord, that's the only thing that's going to matter. And if you're faking the funk, you're not hiding nothing from him. He know you better than yourself. So good luck with that.
You just said something a few seconds ago. You said there's healing in the house. Did you not say that?
There's healing in the house.
Okay. Yeah. So my question is this, though. If there's healing in the house, and you know that how to, I'm not being funny. I'm just going to ask a question. How do you know there's healing in the house?
Because I've had plenty of times I got a headache, I don't feel too well, but when you get to church, it's like, okay, you start praising the Lord, recognize it, or you don't meditate on, oh, my head is pounding. You're not meditating on that because you're in the presence of the Lord, and you're just there to worship the Lord.
So, right, there you go.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, so you're saying because you're in the presence of the Lord, it changes your atmosphere.
Right.
Okay.
Not to say
you can't
change your atmosphere where you are, but it's something about fellowshipping with believers.
Right.
I know we can sit at home and we can have church at home. I know all of that. We can do all that, but there's nothing like fellowshipping with believers as well. So
the reason I wanted to bring that up is because you said there's healing in the house, and but you believe that because of your experience with that, you it happened to you before. And what I'm saying is, I believe, it's just my opinion, and I really don't think I'm wrong, that when people come to church, they don't bring nothing with them. And when they get to church, they have nothing when they get it, so they can't receive nothing. And because they don't have a relationship outside of the four walls of church, they're just coming in to see a show. So even
That's
though
what
you
I
may
said,
see a
no
person
connection.
Shouting.
You got to have a connection.
Right, but you can see someone shouting who then received something and got something, and they're not in control of what's going on. They're just doing what they do. And then you can hear people in there that's just there watching the people who are connected get something from God. But it's like having a cheap phone that never holds a signal. You can come right in the house of the Lord, and the signal can be strong in the first row and in the second row. But the three rows behind, there's no signal. There's no connection. And all they're doing is watching the people who's connected to the Lord, hearing what the Lord is saying. And that's the part, the people that's not connected is the people I'm talking to. If you're connected, this may not have nothing to do with you. If you're connected and you're hearing it and you can feel his chastisement, you can feel his love, you can feel all of the senses that the Holy Spirit that can give you, then this ain't for you. But if you come into church and you ain't got nothing, and you've been in the church 10 years and still ain't got nothing, you're still doing the same thing in year 10 that you was doing in year 1. If you still hating and still sowing discord in year 1 and in year 10, you're still doing the same thing, you're just a little more slicker and it's just more of a new style to it, you've never been connected with the Lord in the first place. You have totally turned him off. And that's when people have turned Christ off because they want to live in sin. Christ can't live in sin. He can help get you out of sin, and he'll give you so many opportunities through listening through the word across the pulpit. But if you want to take the word and think that Derek is going to be your friend and not tell you the truth about the condition you're living in, or you can say I'm being nosy, or I just talk too much, whatever the excuse may be for you to do what you're continuing to do, then that's a you issue. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Because if I'm going to be legit, I got to say what the Lord is telling me to say. That's why people say I talk too much. They don't want me going up their corner because I'm going to say something that's going to affect them, that's going to have them make a decision whether you're going to live in sin or you're going to live for Christ. Are you going to ask Christ for help, or are you going to sit up and listen to all these hypocrites who's telling you it's okay to do this and to do that? That's the point I'm trying to make. If you got the right people, there's going to be some days you're going to cry. There's going to be some days you're going to get your feelings hurt. There's going to be some days things ain't going to go your way, but it's okay because you're doing the will of God. There's some days you're going to hurt. And everyone can't be with you in every season. They can't be with you. I got some relatives, I only have to deal with them on a certain season. And that's my opportunity to show Christ. I ain't got to deal with them every day. I ain't got to deal with them every week. But when I do deal with them, I have to exhibit the love of Christ, because that's what we're supposed to do. But if you hanging around darkness 24/7, and you don't feel convicted by it, if you don't feel some type of way about yourself, something's wrong. And I'm going to start preaching it, because the Lord is giving me to preach. There's a lot of people to come to church that's phony. That's phony. And I'm just call it like it is. I don't care if you shout. I don't care if you speak in tongues. If you cannot do what God is telling you to do, something's wrong. As sick as I be sometimes, and I ain't talking about no one that's sick, do what you got, and I can press my way out. And when I go to the doctors and they tell me certain things, I shouldn't be doing this, that, and the other, but the Lord has given me the ability to do certain things, I'm going to do what the ability that the Lord tells me to do. And then when I go back to the doctor, well, how are you doing this? How are you? You shouldn't even be walking right now. That's what the doctor, you shouldn't be walking right now. Now, I can use that as an excuse and tell my wife, because she'll say, you need to sit down, just relax. I can use that as an excuse and get a whole bunch of rub down, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, God gave me a purpose to do. And if it requires me to walk, and he knows that, evidently he got a blessing for me somewhere around the corner. Now, I ain't saying be stupid and go against what the doctors say. I'm saying if I can stand up and walk up and down my steps, I can stand up and walk to go to church. It ain't going to hurt me. It's going to help me. And just like my wife said, there's deliverance in the house. So whatever sin or whatever it is you got, because I could have that lazy sin, and I'm just going to prop my feet up on Sunday and watch y'all online. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the pain? What am I willing to do the Lord's will? Then when I do that and I can come home, I can go and, Lord, I don't have no money, but I need to get home. And the Lord had me call an airline, and airline say, because of who I am, they're going to give me this. None of them can do this but the Lord. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen for you the way it happened for me. I'm just saying certain things happen when you do the will of God. He makes your burden lighter, even though in the physical it may look like it's a lot of pain, it's a lot of hurt. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting here smiling because I know at the end of the day, all my needs is going to be met. I may not can go do this and do that and do this, but if I pray about it and I continue to do what the Lord tells me to do, then he'll give me the desires of my heart, and I'll be able to do certain things. If you hear my conversation that I have with my wife, not just about the different things we got going on in the ministry, but if you take it over to personal, what our conversation is and what we're trying to do, there's no way in the world we should be having these type of conversations because it just doesn't fit. But when you're living the life for the Lord, it just fits because he'll make it fit when no man can make it fit. In other words, I can't explain to you how certain things are going to happen, but when they happen, we can give the Lord all the praise and all the glory. It won't be no man. But we have to be obedient to what's being preached across the pulpit, and we have to listen. I have to be a better listener, because if I can listen, even though it may hurt, the Lord is going to move me a step further and a step further and a step further. And then I can shout with bad hands and bad feet and the Rapitha and all that other stuff they're trying to put on me. I can still shout, Doctor, how are you making it? I can't do nothing but look up and say nothing but the Lord. I said all that because I just feel that the church is lacking in a lot of areas. And that's just one of the areas. You come into church and you're not connected. Your signal is out. Wife, you got anything you want to add?
I'm just going to add if you feel that the connection is not there, resync. Just resync. All you do is tap in and get into your word, reach out, you know, pray, repent, and do right. Just turn around and do right. You know, it's not too late. As long as you got breath in your body, it's not too late. Resync. Get yourself together and, you know, pick yourself back up and get it together. And if there's something that is being said over the pulpit that you have an issue with, that you enjoyed, that you appreciate, that you feel is confirmation, that you feel is conviction, encouraged you, any of that, you should be able to let your leader know, hey, I appreciate that word today, or, you know, that word was for me because, you know, you was at my house. You know, encourage your leaders as well. They're watching out for you. They're lifting you up before the Lord. If they didn't care about you, they wouldn't come before you every Sunday or Wednesday or answer your calls and be there when you need them. They wouldn't be there if they didn't care. So encourage them as well, because it's not easy having hundreds of people coming with their different attitudes and different views on how things should be run, I'm sure it's not easy. So I don't take that position. I don't see that position as being something that's light or easy. So, you know, encourage them. Encourage them. Let's do more going forward to, you know, make sure that our leaders know that we appreciate them seeking the Lord on our behalf and teaching us the right way to go according to what the Word says. And sacrificing
Amen.
For them, for us. So that's
yeah.
all I wanted to say.
And, okay, well, I want to personally thank, you know, my leader, leaders. And again, I say this, and I know I'm going to make some people mad. I've already made a few people mad from some of my emails I got. But nevertheless, I feel like I'm on a great Tuesday night team. I thank the bishop for putting me on that team, because when you're on that team and you hear the word of God, you hear people break it down, you hear people commenting. You just don't hear people commenting. You hear the excitement when they comment. You hear the growth when they comment. It's a great place to be. And I'm telling you, I've learned so much just through Tuesday night. Tuesday night alone, for the time I've been at Praise Tabernacle to now, I just think I'm in a great place, because I hear the word week after week after week after week. And it's just not the words you get. It's the comments sometimes. And you never know what you're going to get. That's the great thing about being a part of a team, people that's going to uplift you, hold you accountable, hold you to what you're supposed to be doing. I enjoy that part. Then when you come on Sunday morning, who's ever preaching, whether it's bishop, first lady, evangelist, minister, whoever it is, they will give you the tools you need to build your success in the Lord. And what I mean when I say that is the tools you need. You may not understand. I don't understand everything. But yet, as I'm building and as I'm building, I can go back and re-listen to old sermons and old notes, and it fits in today. I may not have got it yesterday, but today I got it. It worked because I was having a bad day, and now that I can go back and listen to this, it just works. I believe Evangelist Staton said, you should have a "it is written." I took that. And it becomes evident in my everyday life now. It's like when I get up, I got to have 3 or 4 "it is written" in my holster. So when something comes up, I can battle it with the word of God. It is written. This is what the word says for today. I just now started doing that. I don't want you to think I'm a novice at this, but because of the team I'm on, because of the comments, it's building me up spiritually. And if your Bible study is all about the teacher, and all you getting is about with the teacher, and you're not taking in the whole Bible study, you're missing a lot. And what I'm saying is, you want to get a curve and get built up, take everything, even the comments of what people are saying about the word, because it may not be what the it may just be a comment that you're missing, and that's okay, because it's still the word of God. And it's going to shine bright when there's darkness in that area for you, because you can go back to that word. It's very important to take what's coming across the pulpit. And again, I ain't talking about every preacher, I'm talking about if they're talking and living the will of and doing the will of God. That's what you need to take. I've been on a fast. How long? This is my 14th day. I've had no red meat. Now, for me, for some of y'all, you know, that's easy. But for me, it's hard. But it's been so easy. For A, I simplified it. I didn't call it a fast. I said I'm just going to eat healthy. And I'm going to make a sacrifice for the Lord. I'm doing this for me and the Lord and for my body. It's not a fast. But I'm 14 days, no red meat, no hamburgers, no steaks, no nothing. But chicken and fish the whole time. And I'm not going to lie, I feel good. My body feels good. You know, I'm not as bad as what I thought it was going to be. And I'm just trying some things. And see, this is what the word would do. It will take you to another level to try some things. And no, I didn't call it a fast. I just said I'm going to eat healthy for 30 days with no red meat. And then after I get done with this, I ain't going to get too ahead of myself. I'm going to try something else. But then when it's time for me to do a fast, I will be good and ready to make that sacrifice because I've done it in my personal life. And that's what you got to do. You got to be, if you'd have asked my wife 3 months ago, can I go 14 days with no red meat? I don't think she would have believed you. But each day that it gets a little easier. I want to thank Evangelist Stan. She giving me the words. It's easy after the first 3 days. Okay, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm on day 14 and I feel good. My wife, she's been almost two years without red meat.
Almost.
And she's been almost 2 years without red meat. And I'm not saying this to brag on anybody, but those are the type of people you got to have surrounding you who's been there, done that. Been there, done that. If they say it's easy to do, you just got to do it, get through the first 3 days, then that's what you do. And that's why, again, the position I'm in, I love it because I'm surrounded by people who keep pushing me, even some days when I don't want to be pushed, to get to that next level, be a better man. If I'm a better man, I'm a better husband. If I'm a better husband, I'm a better father. If I'm a better father, I'm a better brother. I'm a better uncle, better cousin, a better friend. So, and that's what I try to do with other people to encourage them. Just do it. That's all I got, wife. I'm sorry for talking so long, but I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's not give the weekly schedule and pray us out of here. And don't forget, Friday we're going to be at the Hometown Studio Hotel, extended stay hotel for families, passing out food. On Friday at we'll probably be there between 10 and 11 until we get rid of all the food and baskets. And for all those from Praise Tabernacle Church that gave canned donations, non-perishable donations, we just want to say thank you for your giving. We're going to be out there Friday between 10 and 11, somewhere around there, and we're just going to be passing out food. And also we have we had some vegetables and fruit boxes that we're giving out as well. And in every box that we have, there will be Bibles and there will be information on how to get a hold of us as well. So for all those that donated the food, the perishables down at the church, I just want to say thank you. For those that donated to fruit baskets and vegetable baskets, I just want to say thank you to them people. My wife can give you a little bit more information about the fruit baskets and the vegetable baskets. And I just want to say thank you. We'll be there on Friday at between 10 and 11. I'll probably have it. I'm just going to say 10:30. You be there at 10:30, we'll be there. So we'll be there this Friday. Pray for my wife. She taught on Thursday. And I just want to give her a shout out. She did an excellent job with her prayer team, and she had to teach on Thursday. She did an excellent job. I just want to send her a word of encouragement. It's good when I hear my wife teach. It's good for me. I know what she goes through when she has to teach. It's hard for her to even find time to study, to teach. There's a lot of distractions when I say that. There's a lot of distractions because she is a mom. She is a grandma. And it seemed like the phone just never stopped. So she really has to put in the time. And I see the sacrifices she makes to be able to give a good word like she did on Thursday night. And, you know, she get to go on a prayer retreat this weekend. And I'm just happy that she's in a place in the Lord where the Lord is using her, not just on Thursday night, not just on helping me with my Bible studies on Tuesday night and also helping me with Mondays. And then we're doing the pantries and whatever the Lord has just, we just working for the Lord. And we wasn't doing this before we got the Praise Tabernacle. We wasn't. doing none of this. And now we have ministries that we're supporting one another with. So there's never a dull moment. We have to stay prayed up. We have to stay in the Word. And she's my inspiration. And now that she's doing it, she keeps inspiring me to do more and to study more. And when I said yesterday, I said we'd be arguing. Please don't literally take that we'd be arguing. We just be having healthy debates about the Word of God. And she's pulling from me and I'm pulling from her. And this is how we connect with the Lord. Because at the end of the day, I got to give an account. So I got to get all the Word I can. So I got to pull everything out of her for me to be right. And I'm a hard person to get along when it comes to that because we really be going at some things. And it's healthy. And if you're married, challenge each other in the Word of God. That's what we do. That's what makes it spicy for us. We challenge each other. And a lot of confirmation comes from over the pulpit. And if you see us laughing, it ain't that we over there flirting. There's some confirmation that's being said that we were already talking about. That's what I love about my church because it gives us confirmation about what we're going through. And that's all I got. Wife, I'm going to let you have the last say, and you can dismiss us out of here.
All right. So he already gave the information on Friday. If you're available, you want to come out, I believe he gave the address on Sunday if you're in the Lawrenceville area. And, again, appreciate everything that everybody's done from PTC and even outside of PTC as other places that have been donating. So we appreciate everything that you all are doing for the community. And don't stop. Just let's keep it going. It's not a one-time thing that we want to do this. We want to continue to do this. We'll be having an email set up pretty soon as well as a Cash App. So we'll be providing those details on next Monday when we come back on. Thank y'all for listening. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. for PTC Bible Study. Promise you you'll be glad that you tuned in to hear the awesome speakers, presenters, and teachers on tomorrow night. That being said, I'm just going to close us out with a word of prayer. Thank you all for listening. Father God, we ask that you just continue to watch over your people, continue to let your will be done in their lives, continue to protect them, be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Guide them and anything that they're going through, we ask that you touch their hearts right now, open their hearts to receive what your word is saying to them, open their ears to hear what your word is saying to them, and help them to not only show respect, but that others respect them as well, as long as they are following what you're saying in your word. Lord, I ask that you touch anyone that's hurting on tonight, anyone that's going through pain, anyone that's going through depression, things that they may feel that nobody understands or nobody is there for them. Let them know that you are there for them. Pray that someone comes into their life that's able to encourage them and that they realize that it was nobody but you that sent that person to them. Father God, we ask these things in your name. We honor you. We praise you. We give you all the honor, the glory, the praise. You are truly worthy. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.